Amen. Thank you guys for leading us so faithfully each week as we worship and singing together. Welcome. It is so good to have you with us today. I invite you to turn in your Bibles. If you need a Bible, there's some Bibles on the chairs also, to Genesis chapter 2. We are a few weeks in here to a time of walking through Genesis chapters 1 through 11 that will take us through this spring. If you're new to the Bible, Genesis is the very first book right at the beginning. Just find there and either on that first or second page still, we're on chapter 2 today. As we jump into this, we are a little bit of a reminder. We've seen creation. We've walked through the 6 days of creation, that God has created the heavens and the earth, and he's given form to the world. He has created the day and the night and the sun and the moon and the stars, the vegetation, the oceans, the sea creatures, the land animals. And last week we saw that he created mankind. That he created humanity, male and female, and that he created us in his image. He created us in his very likeness, and that he gave us dominion. He gave us rule over all of creation to care for it. And today we get to the seventh day. And the seventh day is unlike any of the other days. Is in it we see that it is the day that God's work is completed and he rests. As we talk about the word rest today, a question for you as we come into this is, how many of us, and you don't have to throw a hand up, it's okay, I kind of think I know the answer. How many of us walk into today tired and worn out? How many of us come in just feeling the weight of life, the burdens we bear, the work we have to do, the family struggles? I think it's most of us, right? I think we come in here and we understand what it is to be weary and need rest. We understand what it is to be tired, to be exhausted. And when we say the word rest, and we talk about how we are to rest in Jesus, as we're going to get to today, it can be almost where we immediately start to feel this burden of not doing enough, or we feel a burden of not resting, and we're worried and we're anxious over not resting and all of these things, and it can become a burden. But what I want us to hear very, very clearly today is that what we see on the seventh day, what we see in the creation of the Sabbath, and what we see fulfilled in Jesus is that rest is a gift from God, not a burden. It is a gift. Let's read together today. Genesis 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. On the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from all his work of creation." For a few weeks now, as I've been preparing and to preach this passage we have today, let me tell you that it has been a time of God working in my heart, because like we were just talking about, I see a lot of areas of not resting in God, right? And today I want us to see the beauty of what God is giving here. And as we understand clearly, like right here, this is just about God resting. Okay, and it's not, we don't see the law yet, we don't see any of these things that are to come explicitly stated right here. But as New Testament believers, we have all of Scripture. And we can look and we can see how this unfolds, and we can understand how this applies to us today. We can also understand that on day 6, God has created us in his image. And as image bearers of his, and then he immediately rests. that there is a correlation here, that there is an example that is being set by God here. So how do we walk in this? How do we understand this? How do we understand things like the Sabbath and what that means to God, what that meant for the Old Testament people, the nation of Israel, and how do we understand the change that Jesus brings to all of this? The first thing I want us to understand here today is that God rested in the completion of his work. For 6 days, he worked and created. For 6 days, we saw the phrase, God said, and then it was made. We see that he is working, he is creating. Rest here means specifically to stop working, to cease from working. God has stopped the work. Now, let's understand really clearly, like, that the work of keeping all of the universe that has been created, keeping it going and all that, that is God's constant work that he is doing. God is not resting here because he needs it, because he's weary, because he's exhausted. He is resting in achievement. He is resting as he can look out and see the goodness of his creation. We saw that at the very end of chapter 1, right? Look at verse 31. It says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Like, you've been there, right? Where not on the same scale, okay, of course. But you've been there where you've accomplished something. You've finished a project, and you've experienced all the turmoil of trying to get that project right, but then it finally came together. And you just sit back and admire it, right? You just sit back and rest in that achievement. Here we have God sitting and resting in the beauty of what he has created, resting in the goodness of what has been created. And remember here, this is perfect. Sin has not entered the world. This is his perfect creation. You notice in days 1 through 6, they all ended with this phrase, evening came and then morning. Look at verse 3, the last thing it says about day 7 here, we don't see that. What God has created is perfect, and it's without sin, it's without blemish. His rest in this creation is not, and then evening came and the rest is over. His rest is in what has been done, and it is completed. It is done. And you notice that days 1 through 6, he's speaking and creating. And here he is blessing and sanctifying. It says he blessed this day and he made it holy. This is the first time we've seen the word blessing a few times now. This is the first time it's on like an inanimate object. Like a day doesn't, it's not an animal like we saw at first. It's not humans like we saw last week. It's a day. He's blessed it. He's sanctified it. He's made it holy as this day that he's resting. He's sitting in that. Now, and we're going to look here just in a moment at the Sabbath and how this plays out. But I want us to stop for a moment here and think about this. For me, it raises several questions here, right? First, one that we just spoke of a minute ago, if we're created in God's image and God has rested, well, then we're probably supposed to rest too, right? There's probably some example to follow. How do we do that? We're not God. We haven't created the universe. What does that mean for us? What is this rest? Another question is, are Christians today supposed to keep the Sabbath that we're going to learn about? And so those are questions I want us to be thinking about, and I hope for us to be able to see clearly from God's word today. And so let's jump right to that as we understand this, that the ability to rest is a gift from God. I want us to turn, if you're able to actually turn to Exodus chapter 20 with me, that would be great. It is just the very next book of the Bible, but there's a couple things I want us to specifically like see on the page right here. In Exodus 20, we have, of course, God giving the Ten Commandments. He's giving the law here. And in verses 8 through 11, we have the Sabbath. Okay? So let's read that together. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You're to labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or your resident alien who is within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. Here, this is the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath. So the Sabbath, the seventh day, was Saturday. And the command here is to rest, is to not work. Now understand, especially in these times, living was hard, right? There's a lot of work that goes into feeding your family, that goes into all of the necessities of life, right? And so it's necessary to work 7 days a week. It's necessary to be gathering and to be taking care of your needs every day. And so the gift here is this gift of rest is God saying, hey, trust in me. I will give you the ability to rest on the seventh day, and your needs will be met. What an incredible gift that is, the gift of rest. And as we see this, this command to rest, we have to understand it as a gift. Because as we read throughout the Old Testament, and as we get to the New Testament, and we see the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders that Jesus is interacting with, the Sabbath is most often not treated as a gift of rest, but as a burden to bear. That is not what it is. That is not what God created it and commanded it to be. I noticed something here, though. Look at the Ten Commandments. You see verses 8 through 11. We have the fourth commandment. You see verses 12 through 17, the remaining commandments, right? Honor your father and mother, down to the 10th one, do not covet your neighbor's house. And you see, most of those are listed just very briefly, right? Just very matter of fact. If you look at the first three commandments, right? Two of those are kind of similar. They're also on the brief side, just one verse. But the second commandment, similar to the fourth commandment, is much longer. You notice that? It's just these two commands that are multiple verses and take up a lot more room on your page. The second command says this, do not make an idol for yourself. And then it continues. I'm not going to read all that right now, but it's do not make an idol. Do not have any idols, any other gods. And I believe there is a correlation here. Our failure to rest and trust in God is the idolatry of self. It is this belief that the world depends on us, that we can do it, that we keep the world moving, that we keep it in motion, that our family will not eat if we don't do all the work. Now, don't misunderstand me. The teachings and the importance of work and providing it, it's all over Scripture. But when we fail to rest, we're failing to trust God. We're placing ourselves in a place of worship, of idolatry of sorts. And don't read too much into me noticing that two commands are longer and seeing that. But there is a reason here that he's given more words to these things. There is something significant here that he's understanding that we need to hear more about this. Because in our nature, we push against rest. In our nature, even when we lay down at night, our mind is overwhelmed with all the things. And it's thinking of what tomorrow bears. It's hard to rest. It's hard to just trust. But that is the gift. The gift of God is that we can rest in Him. That we can trust that He will bear the burdens, that He will take care of His creation and keep it going, and He will be glorified through it. We just walk in the obedience to Him, in the goodness of what He has done, of His creation. There's a song that I kept thinking about this week as we were thinking about this concept, this teaching right here. Is one that I grew up like singing in church as like a little kid, right? And maybe some of you guys have heard this one. Maybe you remember it. Maybe you've never heard it and you're thinking, he's about to do something really embarrassing, right? But don't worry, I'm not going to sing it because some of you guys know me and that would be bad. But the song has these words in it. It's called, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." Anyone know that one, right? And then it says, "He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got you and me." It's hard not to start singing, but y'all will thank me for it. "He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got everybody here in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands." And that song just reminds us of that truth, right? That God, the creator of the universe, the creator of everyone and everything that has ever existed, truly has us all under his control. That he truly has given us the breath of life. That he truly is sovereign over everything and is working in all of creation to bring glory to himself. And he has created us to need rest, and he has given us the gift of rest. Listen to these verses in Mark 2, verses 23 through 28. Here we have one of these interactions. We see several of these in the Gospels where Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees on the Sabbath day for doing what they believe is unlawful. It says this, "On the Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to make their way, picking some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' He said to them, 'Have you never read what David and those who were with him did when he was in need and hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests, and also gave some to his companions.' Then he told them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So then, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" The Pharisees here, these ultra-religious Jews, have turned rest into work. I heard a pastor preaching this passage, and he was talking about being in Israel, and he was talking about the work that they do to prepare for the Sabbath, right? And even down to the extent of like programming their lights to come on and go off during the day, because flipping a light switch would be work. And to add this legalistic burden on the gift of rest seems foolish, right? That's what Jesus is telling the Pharisees here. He's like, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We don't serve the Sabbath. We're blessed by it. We're blessed to be able to rest. It was a gift from God to the Jewish people. And here's the reality, though, for us, is resting is hard, especially if you're not in the discipline of stopping work and just resting. It's hard. But what I want us to understand clearly, and we're the best news of all of this is still to come. We're about to get there. But it is imperative that we stop working, that we enjoy the blessing of rest, not as a checklist, not as something to tell everyone about, to make ourselves look good, but because it's the blessing of God. It's his gift to us. And as I said, man, the studying for this and preparing my heart for this has been one of the most convicting sermons I've preached in a long time, where God has done a lot of work in me of showing me things and showing me patterns where I wasn't resting in him. You know, one of the ways I saw that specifically was in the year and a half since Hope Valley Church has started, and adjusting to a different work environment than I had when we were in Oklahoma, and working with a church office and set hours and things like this. And one of the things I noticed was that my work just kind of spread over the whole week, right? And a little bit here and there and these types of things. And this conviction of to take a day and stop all of the work. You know, with that, though, there's a need to be disciplined in what happens on the other days. There's a need to make sure that the important things are done as much as I can to my ability. Because that's part of that trust, right? There's some things that we don't control, right? Everything that we don't control. But as we rest in Him, we know we're trusting that He has it in his hands, in His control. It's not about keeping the law. It's about enjoying God's gifts and worshiping Him alone. To worship Him is to walk in obedience. To rest in Him is to walk in obedience and is to worship Him. The third thing I want us to see is that we today rest in the completion of Jesus' work. In Hebrews 4, we see a lot about this right here. We'll get to that in just a second, but we see that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath, that Jesus is the completion of this. It changes all of this. Israel, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, they were commanded to rest in the Father on the Sabbath day. As Christians, those who have believed in Christ for our salvation, we rest in Christ for all of our lives and for all eternity. The truth is that to come to Christ by faith is to rest in Him. It's to stop working. Because the work that we are so prone to do as sinful humans is the work of trying to achieve our own righteousness. Listen to these words in Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. Jesus says, or speaking of Jesus here, says, therefore a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest and has rested from his own works, just as God did from his, let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. Says that for the person, verse 10, let me read that one more time. For the person who has entered his rest, Jesus' rest, has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. The works mentioned here are those works of trying to earn our right standing with God. They are the works of trying to be good enough, trying to be holy on our own, trying to earn righteousness, trying to earn salvation and eternity with God, and those works are futile. They will get us nowhere. To enter Jesus' rest is to stop working for our own salvation, is to stop trying to do it on our own. Earlier in that passage in Hebrews 4, verse 3, it says, for we who have believed enter the rest. It is by belief in the Lord Jesus that we enter God's rest. And that leads us so clearly to the heart of the gospel, right? In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, these powerful verses tell us that you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. It's all Jesus. Our rest is in Him. It is today, it is tomorrow, it is the rest of our earthly lives, and it is all of eternity because of the secured work of Jesus on the cross. Because of the resurrection, because as 1 Peter 1:3 says, we have been born again into a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Think about this. As we've seen throughout Scripture today, in Genesis 2, we see God resting upon completing the work of creation. We see humans that were created in a state of rest without sin. Genesis 3, we'll get there in 2 weeks from today, or 3 weeks from today. We see that humans fall into sin. See, that sin has separated us from God. Exodus 20, a few hundred years later, we see that God gives the command to keep the Sabbath, that the Sabbath is an invitation to rest, that because God was promising that he would accomplish, as we remember for those people, that he would accomplish in 6 days what everyone else needed seven for, that they could rest. In Jesus' day, we see the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people here treating the Sabbath as another legalistic law to keep. And we see that Jesus came and showed that the Sabbath was a gift from God to man, that he accomplished the work, and that now we rest in him and only in him. As Christians today, we don't worship on Saturday, on the Sabbath day. We worship on Sunday. We call it the Lord's Day. It is the day that Jesus rose from the grave, the first day of the week. And we come together on the Lord's Day not as a reminder of the things we should not do on that day, but of what we should do. To join together with other believers, to join together in worship to him, to give him praise, to fellowship as the local church. What a gift that is. I don't know the specific things you have right now. I don't know the specific parts that make it hard for you to rest and trust in God. But I believe there probably are some things right now. I know for me there are. I know there are some ways that, as I said earlier, that in my life that God is showing me and leading me to rest more fully in him, to put more trust in him, and to take those more time to stop the work. To stop trying to do things on my own and to trust in who he is. He's faithful to do that. Whatever that is, he is faithful. The invitation from God is to rest. Is to rest in him. And if you've not yet come to Christ by faith, as we just read, if you're still trying to do the right things to bring yourself right standing with God, there is no rest. But the invitation from God is to come to Jesus by faith. Trust in him. And that he will forgive you of your sins. He will give you new life, new birth in himself. And that is the good gift of God, our salvation. And in Jesus there is rest. In Jesus, even in the hardships of this world, even in the trials and the pain and the suffering that will probably happen in your life, there is rest in the Savior's arms. That's the invitation to you today. Trust in him and rest in his goodness. For my brothers and sisters, the believers gathered here today, rest in him. Receive his gift. You can't do it all. You will fail at the things you're trying to do on your own. You might succeed in man's eyes, but you will fail. But by God's grace, he's brought us into relationship with him. He's redeemed us, and he's given us rest. Trust in him. Allow him to work in you and through you. Allow him to be glorified. And there is no failure. I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, today we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. We'll read some scripture and we'll sing a final song and observe that time together. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We are gathered here today for the sole reason that you came to this earth and lived without sin, died a criminal's death on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and rose on the third day, all that we may have life in you. And we are gathered because of that beautiful gift of your gospel. We're gathered to bring you praise and glory and honor. Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ here today, Lord, will you help us to embrace the gift of rest? Lord, to stop the work, to remind us, Lord, that the work has been completed by you. We can truly rest. We can truly trust in you because you are a good and gracious Father. Lord, I pray for anyone who hears these words, who does not yet know you as Lord and Savior, who has not yet come to you by faith for the forgiveness of their sins, Lord, I pray that they will trust in you and be made new. Lord, draw them to salvation in you alone. We love you, Lord God. Be honored and glorified in us and through us this week. Amen.